Hello and welcome back to Our Lot in Block 5, the podcast for Gooners by Gooners. And I've got Stuart Izzard.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Stuart. We're back. We're back from the hoodoo. I mean, I believed that we had stopped doing the podcast for luck reasons, but it turns out it was just the World Cup. But I had it in my head that we had stopped because the last time we did a pod, we lost to Man United. And that we kept winning, so we shouldn't really do a pod. But actually, that was completely false because we did it after the Wolves game, before the World Cup. And we've also got, he's making a cup of tea, it's John Ruben.
Hey, you know.
Have you had any tea yet, John?
I've had 4 pints of Foster's.
Liquid dinner for John.
Yeah. And lunch as well.
Foster's.
Yes, Foster's, because I don't sell Stella in my local.
Okay.
They do sell Biva Moretti and Madry.
Them ones. They're new kids on the block, the Madry boys, aren't they? It's probably brewed in Milton Keynes or something, though, isn't it?
It's quite expensive in my local, but we're
about £1.80, John.
What? In my local, Madry's about £5 something.
Bloody hell. Just but shows you, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Brexit Britain. We're back, everybody.
I think we've only done about 2 podcasts the entire year.
Yes, well, let's see how we're going to do this time.
But I think the whole point with that is that I think if we don't do a pod, we just keep winning.
Exactly. That's what I was just saying to Stuart. I think I had it in my head that somehow this season would be different, and if we didn't pod, we would keep winning. However, over the last few weeks, it's been clear that not podding hasn't really stopped us from drawing, losing, whatever. So we're back. We've all been through the World Cup in the winter, and now it's a very strange time. And I'm going to start off by saying something. You might agree with, you might not, but everybody wants us to fail. Everyone believes we are going to fail. And I still believe that we will fail. To try to kid myself to not get too excited. But it annoys me that people still believe we're going to fail.
Well, let's put it this way, right? Yeah, with most people that go like, especially Tottenham fans, fucking Arsenal are just bottling it. It's like, I've not met, I work with a guy, Palmjit, right, and he's an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
And today, he just looks up and says, we're still top. Every time I see him, he just goes, we're still top.
Yeah.
But no one believes, right, even we don't believe we will finish top. We just don't believe it.
Tomorrow we'll have
a massive say in the way it goes. Because if you look the other day, before City played, it was level points or level games with 5 points ahead. We have to give Everton, especially for where I live, because Ken said to me today, if you don't beat Everton tomorrow, you can't come back in here, you fucking can't. So, that's just the way that works. Because they're all Forest, because they're desperate for...
Oh, I see. So for them to be dragged back down. Although, Sean Dyche...
Plus, they play Forest at the weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah, that's a big game for them. And maybe it's a bigger game for them at the weekend than it is against us in the midweek.
But we need it. You know, I mean, not being funny, I lost my shit with the Aston Villa game.
Yes, John left the WhatsApp group at half-time during that game.
Surely because I was very ill as well.
Mm.
And I just literally just couldn't cope with it anymore. You know, because our performance was appalling.
In the first time, I guess it was sort of one of those games, like we've been up to Villa and been beaten 3-0 and... sort of over the last few years, I know that some of those years have been Unai Emery years and things, but we have lost there. Unai Emery, What was his record against Arsenal? Had he not won against Arsenal? I can't remember what. There was some weird stat about him against his former club.
No idea, mate.
But I don't
think his team knock us out of one of the bloody European tournaments. They did. Valencia.
Villarreal, wasn't it?
That's yeah, Villarreal, yeah.
They did. But I guess, you know, there was... There's loads riding on every game now, isn't there, really?
Yeah.
And weirdly, it's Man City who are under pressure as well because they keep messing up, don't they?
The thing is with City, I think you messaged me the other day, you know they're going to balls up again.
Yeah.
Normally City of years ago, last few years, you think, oh, City are really good. But now you look and you think, no, you know what? I really think they're going to bollocks up.
Kind of reminded them of us in the sort of, I'm going to say sort of 2006 to 2009, when we were a really good side and dominated all our games, but just never quite, like there would be the odd game where we just wouldn't get over the line. We would batter teams, yeah, but not beat them. And they've just become a little bit like that, City. I know this is all like hopeful thinking, but maybe, you know, when Haaland is marked or he doesn't get into the game or he's not quite there, then they don't seem to get the results at the minute. And, you know, they seem to be under pressure for lots of other reasons.
I think it's going to come down to April as a month of football for us.
Mm.
Because we got Liverpool. Liverpool away, City away, Chelsea at home, all quite close together.
Yeah. And,
you know, you look at the next sort of fixtures.
Yeah. Well,
we've got Everton, Bournemouth, then Fulham away. Then yeah. I think we've got Leeds at home, have we? And Palace at home.
Lisbon games. Yeah, but...
And to me, I don't know. I'm not sure whether we'll win the league. I'd love it if we did, but I think we're going to finish in the top four. So you almost have to think what you do. I think we should throw the Europa League to one side.
Yeah, I get the feeling
I'm not saying we can't field a strongish side, but I'm thinking if we've got like Fulham away on the Sunday, but we've got to go to Sporting Lisbon on the Thursday before that.
Yeah.
You've got to be playing Tierney's, Tomiyasu, Holding,
the new boy,
Kvyat. You've got to play Vieira, and Reece Nelson. You know, if they're fit, Smith Rowe, that they've got to play. For me, that you know, I would rather that we went to Fulham with a full strength. You know what we would consider our starting 11. Then take risks and end up, you know, someone gets in, not so much injuries, but you know what I mean? I'd rather we sort of, yeah, we're in the Europa League, but in all seriousness, if we were all given the choice, what would you rather, win the Europa League or win the Premier League? We'd snap their hands off for the Premier League.
Well, I guess the only thing that you'd say as well in that is that, Man City have got to do the same thing. They've got to play each week.
Well,
so, you know, they can't risk not going through in the Champions League more than we could go out the Europa League and not worry about it, in a way. They have to try to win that Champions League. So it might change their performance. I mean, I think it has affected their performances when they've had a number of games in a row because they've had to put in some very young players in their squad. You know, people, great players like this new kid they've been playing at left back.
Yeah.
They let Zinchenko go, so they've had to cover the fact that what's his name? Cancelo.
Yeah, he's gone to Bayern.
He went to Bayern Munich under a cloud. Like, there was no plan for that, was there? There was obviously something happened and they just got rid. So there is problems in their defence, and you just feel like they're not the side that they were. However,
against us, they
did look like they wanted to put everything into that game. And then did they come up short at the weekend after? Literally the weekend after they drew.
Yeah, they drew with Forest and we beat Villa, didn't we? So
there is like, as much as they're fighting for the title, we are the ones still in control of it to a certain degree. But you just, everybody is still writing us off. They're not writing Man City off, are they?
No, but that's because they know, as we've said years and years ago, we don't put the brown envelopes down like Man City do with a VAR room, do we?
Well, this we need to talk about, don't we? Because
the Brentford one's shocking.
The fact that they could basically come out afterwards and say, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. We made a mistake in the VAR room to not look at the right moment that was offside, cost us 2 points in all seriousness against Newcastle last minute penalty, cost us 2 points. You know, you just think it's really difficult to comprehend some of these decisions.
If you go back, I think during the World Cup, they had a VAR. I think there was an assessment done during the World Cup of games where there was mistakes by VAR.
Mm.
And one of the main mistakes that they made was when we scored at Old Trafford, the first goal that Martinelli scores, where they'd given a foul against Martin Odegaard.
Yeah.
And they said it was, you know, that should never, that goal should have stood. Well, we'd have gone 1-0 up at Old Trafford. That was the game that we lost up until, you know, recent sort of weeks. But you think, you know, there's that game could have been totally different, especially bearing in mind where Man United are now, because they're creeping up. You just sort of think, there's the Brentford one. I mean, how was Saka's not a penalty on Saturday?
I know. He was on his knees with his arms around him.
It's just,
I thought I was watching the Six Nations at that point.
It is just, and there's so many of these.
Even the Ben White. I mean, I know that he did impede him, but, you know, the whole idea at the minute is that it's about strength and sort of overcoming your opponent with your strength. So the keeper needs to be stronger. There's been other situations where Ramsdale's been pulled down and we've conceded goals. Yeah. So you just think there's something very strange about how much we seem to be scrutinised.
I mean, there was a couple of examples, not obviously from there was stuff from our game, there always is. But on Sunday, I watched the Tottenham-Chelsea game. Well, for me, if that had been Granit Xhaka had done what Ziyech had done, that would have been a red card, it wouldn't have been viewed, it wouldn't have been looked at,
no.
And it should have stood, right? But then, have a look at when Tottenham score their second goal. Don't get me wrong, Chelsea are awful, but when Tottenham score their second goal, I think it's Dyer that gets the flick on, and he's got two hands planted on the bloke's shoulders, pushing him to the ground, and he glances the ball to the back stick and Harry Kane sort of taps it in. But that wasn't even looked at. It wasn't even looked at. Now,
I mean, I can understand that the games are more physical, but in so many cases, the physicality of it seems to favour the other team.
Well,
Bernardo Silva against Saka, every single time in that Man City game, he got the ball, but Bernardo Silva kicked him up in the air every time. It wasn't even subtle. He was literally just kicking him every single time. Yeah. And I just can't understand why the bloke's not booked. That, you know, there's...
Do you remember... sorry, Matt. Do you remember when, I think it was New Year's Day last year?
Yeah.
When we played Man City. Arteta didn't turn up because he had COVID, didn't he? And,
yeah.
But that game, I think the stat at the end of the game was something about Rodrigo, I think it was, had committed 32 fouls and wasn't booked. And yet, I think Rob Holding came off the bench, committed one foul and got a yellow card.
Yes.
And we weren't given the penalty in that game. Martin Odegaard was brought down by the keeper, Edison, and nothing was given, wasn't looked at. And I think I said at the time, both of them were penalties, because Granit Xhaka pulls, I think it was Silva, wasn't it, in the second half. And they're both penalties, but one was looked at by VAR, the other one wasn't.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And that's what's frustrating. Just you've either got to make a decision. If the ref's going to give a penalty, everyone is looked at. How can you decide? The only way you can decide whether you do or you don't look at it is if you've been paid a load of money not to look at it. It's as simple as that. There's no...
Or you get this growing sense that they want to make it as hard as possible for us. Maybe that's just how it feels to Arsenal fans, but that disallowed goal at Leicester could have cost us that game as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that goal, there was nothing really wrong with that goal. They were pulling and tugging in the box all over. Every player is pulling and tugging on someone. The keeper wasn't strong enough to rise above the challenge. He had his own player pushing into him. I can't see how you call that a foul.
And likewise, the Saka one, how have they not looked at that? How have they not thought, is there a suggestion of a penalty there? It goes on,
doesn't it? Well, maybe it gets into our heads too much, that maybe every other team feel that they're hard done by. I guess there's probably some sort of stat at the end of all this season that'll tell you how many times VAR made mistakes.
I was at the Brentford game, and their goal they scored was obviously the opposite end to me. It was in front of the clock end. And I just turned around to Charlie next to me. I went, that's offside. Bearing in mind, I'm totally the opposite end, but I went, that's offside. I said, they ain't going to get it. And then it went to VAR, and you thought, oh, well, here we go.
Yeah.
It is offside. I'm right. You don't see any more in the stadium, so you're left wondering. And then when they gave it, I was like, oh, well, I was obviously wrong. And then I was sitting on the train and was watching, like, you know, the five-minute highlight clip. You're like, oh, my God, it was offside. There's nothing you can do about it.
It's just if you lose the league by a point, you've just been let down by the whole system. I know that we've probably had things go our way and things haven't been reviewed. Maybe even the goal at Leicester. I don't know whether that was... There's sort of suggestions that Martinelli was offside as the ball gets slid through. It didn't get looked at.
No, he wasn't. What? You're talking about... No.
Well, I've seen pictures online sort of showing he looked offside. But, you know, I suppose every club could be going through all this.
I was going to say to you, Matt, how many times do you think we've got away with something on VAR as opposed to how many times we've been affected?
It's very difficult, isn't it? Yeah, it's very difficult.
Well, I can't name many that I think, oh, we got away with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think the day
when you think of like the guy who's the guy for Newcastle, is it in the Newcastle game where was it or Liverpool and they put his hand out, stop the ball, and it wasn't a penalty?
There's loads. I mean, the same day that we drew with Brentford, I think West Ham were playing, can't remember who they played.
No, Lee Mason reviewed a Brighton one where he screwed up, he forgot to draw the lines. And if you got to do it, basically, Lee Mason did not resign. Lee Mason retired on the amount of money he got paid for over Brighton and Arsenal. Yeah. Yeah, Lee Mason is a corrupt cunt.
Yeah. and
very sweary, isn't he?
That same day, I've got a feeling it was Chelsea-West Ham game, or West Ham-Chelsea was on at lunchtime, because we were watching it in the pub before the...
it was that one, weren't it?
And the handball...
The handball in that one, yeah. That was the one I'm talking about.
And they didn't look at that. Yeah. You're like, oh my, I'm not that I wanted Chelsea to win.
He literally put his hand, the palm of his hand, out to the ball.
It was mad.
Absolutely mad.
It was all that weekend. It was all the same weekend. We'd had the goal that should have been disallowed by Brentford, the Brighton incident, and that one with West Ham. And I'm like, you know, they're there to make sure there isn't clear and obvious error, and all they're doing is creating clear and obvious error.
I think even like every time we score, like when Jorginho hit the post and it hit the back of Martinez's head, they checked that to see if anyone was in the way. Like they were trying to suggest that someone might have been blocked in the way of the shot. And you just think, would they have done that normally in the 96th minute? If that, I don't think, Matt,
they did when Xhaka scored against Man United and one of our players was in direct eye line of De Gea and they went, no, that's all right. But I'll tell you what, how many years, right, have I said, and eventually Stuart came round, VAR is corrupt.
Yeah, mate.
I can't work it out. Like that whole thing on Sunday with Chelsea, making him go over to the screen.
When your job, right, as the man doing VAR, is to draw the lines and you forget, that's your job.
Yeah.
And you go, I've forgotten all about that. Yeah, sorry. Seriously, I mean, how the fuck, twice. Not just their game, the Brighton game. Yeah. He drew the lines in the wrong place for Brighton. Just fucking draw the lines. Where are you drawing the lines? Outside the stadium. What the fuck is all that about? Right, yeah, seriously.
Learn the M23.
That bloke, right, if Arsenal lose a title, they should fucking sue the geezer. Take out a civil case. They should.
Make his life a misery.
But they should. Incompetence. Because they've got prime examples of what he's done.
I'll tell you what the other thing, which if we're all feeling a bit sore about stuff, even though we're top of the league, we've done nothing but moan.
But it's true.
On this podcast.
If you're in a job, and you're incompetent at your job, if you're a mechanic, like Stuart, as a mechanic, and someone says, MOT, and you go, I've done your MOT. If you're like, you're passed. And then they crash, you go, but I forgot to check your brakes.
That's right. It's right.
You know what I mean?
Just quickly, is checking your brakes part of the MOT?
Well, you have to make sure the brakes are working.
quite
an important part of road safety.
I suppose so,
So Stuart stood up and went, I forgot about that. Sorry that you couldn't stop and your fucking wife and kids died in a car crash. But you know what? I'll just retire now, resign, and fuck all's going to happen to me. So you know what? The amount, if you look, as you calculate the amount of money that we'll lose based on that decision, civil suit, take him for every fucking penny. Because we have a case. We have a case. Forgetting to do your job twice in the same day is a case of deliberate negligence. And we would have a case, and so would Brighton, if they don't make Europe by 1 point. Right? There's a case there for both teams to take a civil suit out and bankrupt the cunt. because that's his job.
So this is my last gripe before we talk about some good things about the last 3 months. The attitude towards Arteta's behaviour on the touchline. Now to me, it was highlighted in the Newcastle game when he went ballistic, and he reacted badly and at other points. I think at Villa, when they were time-wasting, he mocked the referee by sort of pretending to be the referee, spinning his fingers around his substitute. And I just think suddenly that's become highlighted when you've got people like Conte and Mourinho and Guardiola and Klopp who are always doing this, you know, almost coming to blows with the other manager, shouting at fourth officials, screaming, running onto the pitch in some cases. And it's Arteta that's the one that's vilified for it. Matt, I just don't get it. It's like,
you know why, Matt,
it's because it's Arsenal, isn't it?
It's because we are currently a threat. That's why we've been hit with 5 fines in the last 6 weeks, right, for our players being a bit out of order. When it happened, you look at some of the things that have gone on with, like, Man United, Liverpool.
Man United, one of the players had his hands around someone's throat.
Yeah.
He was literally throttling an Everton player, wasn't it?
The last time all this shit happened was the last time we won the league.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is true.
But every time, if you look, even when, like, you know, the Arsenal, you remember the Arsenal Man United game, we got docked 2 points, they got docked 1.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't they get docked 2 points? Well, they didn't, because it was only a 2 point for a win at that point, or 1 point for a draw. So every time we have a threat, the next thing that will be happening is the FA go, yeah, we're going to start docking your points. You know, and will we find you enough? But it will, because.
Oh, that you know that extra game.
Aren't behaving any differently.
You know that game in hand you've got? You know that game in hand you've got? You're not playing it anymore.
you've just fucking lost it. But the whole point is
who's that against? Who technically is that against?
It's Wednesday. It's tomorrow.
Oh, is it the one against Everton? Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? Right, yeah.
3 points to Everton. Arsenal are not fit.
But this only happens. This only happens when we start getting good. And we start threatening to win the league. This only happens at that point. When we was like bottle Arsenal, 9th, 10th, 11th, no one gave a shit.
I suppose that's
now,
true.
Now stepping up a gear, they don't like it. The FA don't want us to win the league. They just don't. And you can see them go like, is it a victim complex? But it isn't a victim complex. If you look at the decisions that we're getting against us, it isn't, because it's fucking shocking. Even on Match of the Day, they've gone like, the Brentford thing should have been offside. One of them this weekend went, I can't work out why Odegaard, was it Odegaard? Who's got the goal? It was just a lag because of Ben White's hand.
It was Trossard.
Trossard. No, can't work out why it was disallowed. You look at the passage of play, it's about 25 seconds before Trossard scores.
I mean, it's long enough. It's long enough to have blown the whistle. And
you will see someone hold Ramsey's up. And I'll tell you what, if you actually look at the video clip of that, the defender was also holding the goalkeeper's up.
Yeah, he was impeding the goalkeeper just as much as as Ben White.
Because I watched it and I rewound it and I watched it again and I paused it and went, but the defender has also got his arm. His hand on the keeper's arm. You know? You know, the whole point is the passage of play moves forward. Oh, but he might have got the ball. It's all conjecture. He might have got the ball. There's no guarantee he would have got the ball.
No, the evidence says 3 men jumped up together. They all got in each other's way and he punched the ball clear. So actually, he did all right to get the ball away from that situation because he's right under his bloody crossbar. So, you know, in most situations, you would say that's good goalkeeping. At least he got it away. What happened next was he put it right in the top corner, which had nothing to do with the incident. It did. I mean, obviously the ball came to him because of it, but the keeper wasn't lying on the floor when the ball went in.
Yeah, but it didn't go directly to him.
No, no, it didn't go directly to him.
So it was still football played, and then he's you know, he's had a little shifty across the front of the penalty area, and then he's hit a banger. And that's, at the end of the day, that's
I mean, you know,
that's a good goal.
You look back at some of the best. I mean, you'd only have to look at the World Cup, the game against France, and how Saka was treated in that game to know that for some reason Saka seems to be impervious to get anyone booked. Like, he, if you tackle him, it's fair game. And, you know, literally the team have come out and told referees, you must protect this boy. Because, there is nothing that Guardiola said to Bernardo Silva on that last Wednesday night to say. All he wanted to say was, just kick him. Do not let him go past you. Your job is to kick him until you get booked, and then I'll pull you off. And he didn't even bloody get booked.
That sounded wrong.
It did sound wrong, didn't it? Yeah.
And he didn't get pulled off at half time. He got a blow job.
He might as well have done. I've noticed that we are now half an hour in, and we haven't said anything positive about the fact that at halfway point in the season,
we're top of the league.
We had 50 points. We're top of the league still, with a game in hand.
I'd tell you something though. Could I just scan forward a little bit, right, to tomorrow's night game?
Yeah.
Right. I watched the highlights of Everton v Villa, and the two half-decent chances that Everton had fell to Iwobi.
Oh, yeah.
Just like watching Iwobi at Arsenal.
It was, yeah.
He's still fucking scratching a living, being utter shit.
Yeah, I mean, well shot of him. That is true. What's that, John?
It's me. I've just put the kettle on.
Bloody hell. Right, let's talk positives. Well, actually, let's talk about the January transfer window. So we had a problem. We've had a problem with Jesus, obviously, haven't we? And, you know, the World Cup is...
You know what?
The fucking World Cup is to blame for that.
I mean, I know we missed out on, what was it, Mudryk?
Yes.
But apparently he's been, like, utter dog shit. I mean, next season he might turn that, but he's been, like, utter shit.
I mean, he's joined... It's like, can you name the Chelsea starting 11? Because I don't think I could name three of them.
Havertz. Who's the other guy, the English fella, who plays in the England team?
Sterling.
No, he's not... He's not, well, if you're going to say Mason Mount, he's not getting
picked.
Mason Mount.
But I just, it's been an amazing, it was an amazing January for Chelsea. They just would buy everybody.
Yeah, but you know what, didn't you feel like it was just like the old Mourinho days? Who were Arsenal interested in?
Yeah, it was a bit.
Yeah, fuck it, we're going in. Who were Liverpool interested? Oh, yeah, right. So we'll just have them. There was a thing come up on Facebook. It was I went to Tesco's and there was only one, like, fucking ready meal left. But unfortunately, Chelsea just got there before me. They doubled. You know, it was just like, you know.
I mean, the Mudryk contract is like 8.5 years. Yeah, like, man. That is hot, the man's whole career. You can't...
How old is Mudryk?
I think he's like 21, 22 at the most.
I mean, like, but he might turn out to be decent, and I think he probably will.
But 8.5-year contract. It doesn't even bear thinking about, does it?
Yeah, but we gave Cesc Fabregas an 8-year contract.
Did we?
And he left after 4.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to stop it now, aren't they?
No, I'll tell you what though, yeah. Me and Michael Wade, we had this massive rat in, I think it was the Bailey. The Bailey was the one further down from Barcosa. We sat there on the seats. He was doing this was Mark's main bugbear with Fabregas, right? That he signed an 8-year deal and left after about 4 years. And I said to him at the time, I said, but you don't know what Fabregas was offered for that 8-year deal. You don't know whether Wenger said, I'm building a whole team around you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and everything's going to be amazing. Then after 2 years, it just all went to shit. So I said, you know, I mean, but yeah, Fabregas did get the 8-year deal.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, I suppose if that did happen, then he was like a 16-year-old when we got him, wasn't he, from Barcelona?
Yeah, so but I think he,
I can imagine
he was about 20 when we gave him the 8-year contract.
I thought he came through. I thought he was younger than that.
I thought he started when he was 16.
16.
He was less. He wasn't
because
17.
Barcelona couldn't. In that thing, we nicked some of their players because.
Yeah, but Barcelona, I thought he joined Arsenal when he was about 14, 15.
I'm not sure.
I thought he was a bit younger because how old was he when he made his debut?
He was less. He wasn't 17 for Arsenal. He was in.
No, he was 16.
He was in the Invincibles year, 2004, weren't he?
Yeah, but what?
He started in that year, and he was getting first team starts in when he was less than 17, or he was 17.
Definitely. Right.
With the mullet and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it? But yeah, whatever. I mean, I think what the FA or the Premier League are going to ban all that 8-year contract nonsense because it's not realistic. I think they're going to limit it to 5-year contracts.
But yes, I've got no right to do that. What is between the club and the player? This is the FA being fucking arse. Do they get some kind of like money when a player signs?
No, but I think that they're sort of suggesting that the way that they're financing these players is beyond there is all financial fair play rules, and it sounds like that they have stretched this contract over a long period of time to essentially stop other teams buying, to basically offer an extension so long that no other team can match it.
Well, they can. They just got to pay a shitload of cash.
When there's no guarantee that Chelsea is a football
just
club.
Just put it this way, right? Yeah. We got Trossard for 28 million quid, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the current market, that was a really good price.
Bloody hell, we've said something positive. Can we just stop there for a second?
No, what I'm saying is, though, that was an excellent price.
Yeah.
For player with his quality. Now, if Brighton has said, we're going to give you an 8-year contract, we would have probably had to pay about 70 million quid. Yeah, for him. So, it can protect the lower clubs who have, you know, who get this player who's just the absolute bollocks, and then like someone like United or Liverpool go, oh, look at this bloke, yeah, oh, we'll give you 2 million. Yeah, sorry, 8-year contract, we want at least 50. Yeah, and I agree with the massive long-term contracts if you can hang them down, because if a player's unhappy, yeah, but the club you're selling has got to be, you know, you've invested in a fucking player. Why shouldn't you be rewarded? Why should you be in a situation where a player's not happy and they go, yeah, well, fuck it. You know what? I'll just sign a pre-season contract with someone else and I can piss off for a free come the summer and I get all the benefit because I get massive wages, which has happened to us over the last fucking 10 years. If we had tied half our players down to mental contracts, the amount of money that people would have had to pay us to get them would have been much better, you know?
Yeah.
We've let players go that were really good.
I mean, apart
from Aubameyang, yeah, you deserve to fuck off, right? But we've let players go that were excellent players with fucking pittance.
I think, though, that what they've done, particularly because they've bought so many players, John, is that they are spreading the payment to the other club of that player over 8 years. So, what they're saying is that Mudrick's contract is going to pay Shakhtar Donetsk or wherever he came from £7 million a year for the next 8 years, which allows them to basically say, well, we only spent £7 million on him now for the financial fair play part of the contract.
And that should be banned. The rules should be changed by UEFA or FIFA, that if you want to buy a
player, that's what I'm saying. They are going to change the rule. So you can't spread the payments out over such a long period of time.
Given a year contract shouldn't be an issue as long as you've bought that player.
Well, no, that's exactly why they gave him an 8.5-year contract, so they could get the wage, the actual cost of him into yearly payments, so they could spread it out over a long period of time. And I think they did it with some of the other players that they've done as well. Fofana.
That Mudaweki, he's on a long contract.
So they've changed the way that they're buying players to stick within financial fair play, but 8 years is of, you know, loads of things.
That's going to bite them in the arse, though, Matt. That's going to bite them in the arse.
You know, instead of paying £70 million out of your back pocket, which they've got, and obviously they can't then match that with financial fair play, so they're paying them £7 million, and we'll pay £7 million next year. And then they'll probably offload him if he's not good enough, and that all that stuff will disappear somehow. I don't know. it's certainly a risky strategy. Yeah. We nearly said something positive then about the fact that Arsenal are at the top of the league in March.
Are they?
top of the league in March. When was the last time we were top of the league
in
March?
We're not quite March.
Yeah, but it's tomorrow's March. We play on then. We're still going to be top of the league because Man City are playing in the FA Cup. So that means we will be
top in March.
Yeah, I'm thinking that did we go top at any point during the Leicester City season where they won?
No, we went close.
Because we should have won the league that year, apart from we couldn't win out of the last seven games. We couldn't win two games.
Yeah, it was all of us, wasn't it?
We played shit game. We literally played. I mean, the worst one was Tottenham, right? Yeah, I mean, they came third in a fucking one-horse race.
Yeah.
we had to win something like about two games to win the league, and we just at seven games we just couldn't do it, and we played shit teams.
And Chelsea were bad, weren't they? I remember Chelsea letting Tottenham win. They possibly let Leicester win. We beat Leicester, so we in sort of
we beat them home and away. The only team to beat them home and away.
But we beat them at a crucial moment, didn't we? Last minute winner, Danny Welbeck.
We hammered them 5-2 at their place, didn't we?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't think we ever actually took the lead in that race, did we?
No, I think when we beat them at home, I think that put us right up close to them, to the point where you thought, right, here we go.
They could start.
And then, like John said, we fell apart. Two or three games in hand over them.
Yeah.
Maybe we'd been at the Cups early or something like that, and we'd have had two or three games in hand, and we just couldn't.
That's right, get a win. Yeah, and we just kept talking on the pod about, well, if we can just win our next two games, we're level 1 points for them, sort of thing. Yeah. And they just never materialised the wins. which I suppose we've got that sort of weird, we've played less games than Man City and the others still about us at the minute.
If you look at the games that we've ballsed up, we should be at least 8 points clear, right? We should, but we're not. So we just got to accept that we aren't going to win the league and we'll probably come third.
Well, I'm going to say we're not going to win the league in the easy way, which is just to carry on winning.
I just think we'll come third because United, now Ronaldo's pissed off, are looking... I actually put a bet on United about when we played them and beat them, then put a bet on United to win the league or come second. The night we beat them, it was a fucking, because they look that good, because I think they are that good. Next year, I think United will piss all over that league. I think City's days are done. I know they got all that money, and I know they've got Haaland, who's the highest fucking goal scorer in a season ever for City. Don't give a shit. I honestly don't give a shit. City's days are numbered. They're over. I think United have decided to step up and just take the lead. If we win the league this year, I tell you the one thing that Arsenal don't do is win back-to-back, right? And if we win it this year, great. Don't think we will, but if we do, we are not going to win it again for about another 10, 15 years.
Really?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Really? I think I like a... a bargain then. If we win the league this year, would you be happy not to win the league for another 10 years?
Yes.
Stuart?
Me personally, I think I've always said on here, you know, when I think we had the chat after we got hammered by Barcelona or whatever, and I said, we keep going in this Champions League and yet we can't win our own league. Mm. I said, until we can win our own league, that's when I'd like to think we could have a go at the Champions League. So for me personally, I'd love to see us win the league, as we all would. But equally, I think if we do, then the next thing should be, and I'm sure Arteta's driven, is to go and try and win that Champions League.
Yeah, totally.
You know, that's the thing. That's what you and your squad's
I feel like
got.
We would do well in the Champions League this side because Saka as a player needs that now.
He'd get the protection.
He'd get the protection of the referees much more. And you feel
Odegaard. You know, let's face it, he's one of the best in Europe at the moment. There's no two ways about that. And yeah, when you've got the likes of Saka, okay, Jesus, we haven't seen for a while, but another quality player there. Martinelli's, you know, you got okay, Trossard maybe, but he's a quality player. You know, there's all sorts. There's quality right throughout that squad.
We switched it a little bit on Saturday and played Trossard more like in more of a sort of Jesus role, and rather than Eddie Nketiah sort of on the shoulder of the last defender. And do you think that works better for us overall in controlling the game? I kind of felt like on Saturday we controlled the game, but we didn't create as many chances.
Well, this is. I want to see
Martinelli through the middle.
Yes. I really thought when I saw the lineup, I thought Trossard was going to be playing out on the left and Martinelli was going through the middle. And I've been saying to some of my mates, for me, I've been wanting Trossard to start for a while. Mm. You know, I know he's not been there a long time, but I was like, well, give Martinelli a break. Give Martinelli. Because Martinelli hasn't looked great since the World Cup. Not saying he doesn't work hard, but he'd lost that little bit of that little.
Yeah, he was looking like he could, you know, even in that game we lost to United, he looked like he was on a different level to everyone.
Yeah, but you can only run as fast as he does for so many games without your body going, I need a break now.
I suppose, the World Cup wasn't the greatest break, I suppose, but.
Listen, I'm not for one moment am I having a go at Martinelli, but all I was going to say was when I saw that team, the lineup, I really thought, well, it's going to be Trossard out on the left because he's just been playing there. Martinelli had come on against Aston Villa because Trossard was playing there and he did play through the middle and he scored. So I think they're thinking, well, let's give him another go there. Mm. But as it happened, it didn't, and Trossard was. But Watching Sky Sports, I wasn't watching the game. I didn't stream. I couldn't do. I wasn't doing that. So I was literally watching Gillette Soccer Saturday, and Paul Merson was doing our game. Mm. And he said, Arsenal are absolutely bossing this game. But he said at halftime, they've got to bring in Nketiah on because they're not going to score like this. That's what he's saying. And then obviously, that was his half-time roundup, and then a minute later, in the second half, we'd gone 1-0 up. But he sort of, having him watch it, he said, for a team that's so dominant, they do need someone up there. So I think there was good bits about it, but maybe
I
not.
I think we need Balogun back. You know, like, I know Eddie's scored a few goals, but the last few games, Eddie has just been the Eddie.
This is it. The one against that he had two clear cut chances against City at really crucial times for me.
Yeah, yeah.
One where was it 1-1, and he had a header.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would have put us 2-1 up into the half time. Or was it even before that? Was it at 0-0? I can't remember. But then he had another chance in the second half. He had another one. He's gone through. He's beaten the player. He's put it over the bar. He's done one. And it happened again. It's funny, isn't it? Because he did score the winner against United.
Yeah, and he's worked very hard in Nketiah.
Yeah.
You know, we always rely on his game. He's still a young player. I think it's easy. I think, didn't he score seven out
of... He was scoring seven out of seven eight out, games when seven, Jesus yeah, or gone, whatever. Yeah.
So listen, you know, that's decent form. That's you know.
Do you know what surprised me when you talk about Martinelli? When he scored the weekend, they went, it's only his 20th Premier League goal for Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I thought, what do we know? Only 20 goals. 20 Premier League goals he scored.
It is that, isn't it?
I was absolutely stunned with that statistic. I thought he scored far more, but he hasn't. He scored 20.
I mean, he had a lot of time out injured, didn't he, last year?
No. Stuart, Martinelli... The goal at the weekend was his 20th Premier League goal for Arsenal.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad return, though, for a winger.
How long has he been with us?
Oh. Did he come in the summer when Emery was there?
Yeah.
It was something to do with Edu, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. I think that there was, you know... He had a good start. He got that goal against Chelsea. He was coming on as a sub, and then he had a big injury for quite a while. So, you know, I suppose if you put like him into the same box as like a Freddie Ljungberg or something who might get 10, 12 goals a year, that's a decent return, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you expect him to be the out-and-out striker... We don't have one of them.
But when they said it on Match of the Day, that really surprised me.
Yeah, I can
understand. It was only 20 goals.
But I suppose we've had some shit seasons where we haven't scored many goals as well.
Yeah, you add up his total goals, though, when you think, you know, he's probably playing with the Cups and Europa League probably and things like that. Yeah, I think.
If only there was a way of finding out.
I just can't be honest. I see one of the things I did read on social media. Who shared it? Was it shared on Instagram? Some bloke said, Marcus Rashford is better than any version of Thierry Henry in the Premier League. And everyone just tore this bloke a fucking new arse. He was like, look, you know what? He went, unpopular opinion, Marcus Rashford is better than any version of Thierry Henry. He's like, don't be a cunt, seriously. You know?
Yeah. So,
he is on fire, the boy.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Before, beginning of the season, I was chatting to a guy, Rob, in our local, and he was talking about Rashford. He went, I wish he'd just fuck off. And I said, I wish he'd sign for Arsenal. I said, I think he would fit perfectly in our side. Now Ronaldo's left.
Yeah, which shows, doesn't it? He's made 81 appearances in the Premier League and scored 20 goals.
Yeah.
And he made only 14 appearances in the first 2 years in each season. So he's not even played half a season in the first 2 years.
So he's a 1-in-4.
He's a 1-in-4 type player. He's got 27 goals overall. because we've gone out of the cups early for the last few years, haven't we? You know.
Yeah.
Like League Cups.
I just feel at the moment he is the man through the middle.
Yeah.
But, and there's a song there somewhere. What's the song? It is about the man in the middle.
So, Michael Jackson.
Yes, and I do believe that Martinelli is the man in the middle.
Well, we might.
Because of the pace. I mean, like I say, we've got Trossard, we've got Smith Rowe, all can go down that left-hand side.
Weirdly, though, when we started this season with Jesus in the middle, you kind of didn't question the way we were playing at that point, that we knew he didn't necessarily score a lot of goals, Jesus, but he made us defend from the front and do lots of things.
Yeah, he starts a different class
to what we've had for a long time.
I think Odegaard scored a lot of goals this season.
Yeah.
You think he's getting sometimes two goals a game in some of the games we played. Here's another one. So we bought sort of...
Who did he miss against? Was he Villa?
Oh, that was Villa, yeah. You would put your weekend on that, wouldn't you, really? Him in front of goal. And that was Eddie Nketiah would have got an assist from that as well. But again, in Villa, Eddie had a bad game, really, in lots of ways. He didn't really... He had the chances and missed them, didn't he? A couple... And it only takes a couple of good chances and you missed them.
Yeah, it only takes a minute, girl.
Yeah. So what about Jorginho? What do we think of him coming in?
I thought he was a bit taller at first, but I'll tell you what, though, he's kind of picked up a bit. I was really...
Very different, isn't he? Very different player to Partey or someone.
I mean, I would have loved it if that goal could have been like an inch lower. 2 inches and just gone straight in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great that it came off Martinez because Martinez has been a total cock. And he's now apparently the best goalkeeper in the world. Yeah. He got the award today, yes.
Did he pretend that award was his penis as well?
Yeah. And you just kind of look at it and think, you're not like the best goalkeeper in the world, quite frankly. You're not the fucking best goalkeeper in the Premier League. I mean, even Leno's doing better than fucking Martinez. But it was just beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. And I actually went on his Instagram and just cunted him off.
You know? And got banned.
And you know what, though? I love Martinez, but since that game, I fucking hate him.
Yeah, that's... I mean, he's a funny... Obviously, he's quite a divisive character, isn't he? The penalty shootouts in the World Cup and the kind of gamesmanship, pushing it to the limit. And he was doing it against Arsenal, and he's had a few days where he's come out better. He's got the best of his former employers, hasn't he? When Villa have beaten us at Villa Park and stuff over the last couple of years. So, you know, this was probably a step too far against a side that were much better than he had faced before. Thank God we got through it, because that would have really been a wobble. We would have turned a wobble, you know.
Yeah.
Losing at Everton, drawing at Brentford, losing to City, and then potentially losing to or drawing with Villa. It all starts to look a bit dodgy then, doesn't it?
Boy, I think he's done really well.
What, Jorginho?
Yeah.
It gives us a different option.
I
love Thomas Partey, and I think without him, when you look at the players that we can't afford to lose in our team, you look at and think, right, Ramsdale definitely can't afford to lose. Partey can't afford to lose. Odegaard, Saka. Then four players are the ones that you think, if we want to win the league, they are the four definite key players.
Yeah.
But Jorginho offers us something different.
He is something different. I know he's a bit more lightweight, but there's some little subtle pass. He's a little subtle pass maker, isn't he?
Yeah.
And against Villa, it really looked... I'm thinking even against City, we had to bring him against City. There were times when he was pushing the ball through. There was a wonderful moment against City where... We knocked it all around with him, Martinelli, and Odegaard, and Odegaard fluffed his lines on the shot, I think, but it was like we really ripped them apart at that moment. He was involved. So you feel like he is that little bit more, like he's the sort of player who'll chip the ball over the top of the defence, you know, at quite close range to create a chance. Whereas Partey will basically give it to Odegaard, really, won't he? Or just protect Odegaard, make sure he gets the ball. So these are just something a bit different.
I keep saying that the Chelsea mates, when they're going on about how shit they are and all that, I said, I can't believe with all that money you had, why you didn't sign a player like Jorginho?
I was like, yeah, can you name anyone in the Chelsea first 11 now? Well, there's Jorginho. Oh, no, obviously not.
When we signed him, they did a comparison of the stats, playing time, passes, tackles. His stats were far better than Partey's.
Well, John, I don't give two fucks what Chelsea do, to be honest. But apparently there was quite a lot of player unrest when he left. There was quite a lot of the players in the squad like, what the fuck? We've let him go. Do you know what I mean? So I think he was quite highly sort of rated as a you know.
He's probably a good guy in the dressing
room. Yeah, but yeah, that's what good I mean. A bit of a leader, a bit of a you know, a bloke who's been there, seen it and won it, and a bit like Zinchenko to a point, you know?
Yeah. I know she's not taking penalties.
No, but they're shrewd. They've been very clever signings. Then we all know that Trossard and Jorginho weren't the first choices because it was openly clear to everyone who we were after.
Mudryk and Cancedo or whatever his name is.
Well, that's right, but...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's worked out for the best, to be honest.
Well, at the end of the day, they saw something else out different. You know, they didn't have a lot of time to do it, but they'd obviously got something
plan B.
In mind.
They've got some plan Bs.
And let's face it, two very experienced Premier League players. You know, you're not signing them from the French league, and they're going to need 2 months to settle. They literally just walk into that side. They're ready. You know what I mean? They're Premier League ready, which, okay, it cost us 40 million, I think, for the two of them. But they're just ready to go. You know, you haven't got a, they know the ins and outs. Okay, they've got to learn a little bit of how we do stuff. But that doesn't take long when you're a professional footballer. When you're trying to settle into a new country and, you know, a new league and all that, that takes time. But, you know, I shouldn't think Jorginho's even moved house, has he? He might have to drive a bit further to work in the morning. But and to a point, Trossard, I mean, you know, it's not miles away, is it, Brighton? You know, so it's not like major upheaval. So I think they've just been able to slot into the squad. And you could see how happy he was when he scored at Villa.
Yeah.
You know, it was like he'd been there months. You know what I mean? It just felt that he was part of that side. And to a point, the same with Trossard.
Well, it's also the way that he celebrated Martinelli's goal before it went in. You know what I mean? He was just going fucking mental.
Yeah.
He's a good egg. He's a good egg.
Yeah.
And there's that little bit of creativity. You can feel that he could change a game the way he plays. Like he might be a little bit weaker defensively. He's got Xhaka to back him up. I mean, I do feel that, like, Xhaka's almost played every minute, hasn't he?
I was a bit surprised.
He not had a red card this season either?
Yeah, you just wonder what we'd be like without Xhaka constantly there. Like, is he the one that weirdly is the thing holding things together a little bit?
He's the captain on the pitch. I believe that he is. I know, like, Odegaard wears the armband, but I still think Xhaka has stepped up to the captain's role.
We had that little moment sort of where he scored against Liverpool, didn't he? And earlier he had scored, like he started to really change and you could see his role was different and he was scoring goals and he was involved in goals and it's sort of calmed down a little bit for him, but he is just the consummate pro, really. It's like you never feel like his reputation is there, that was there before. It doesn't feel like
that. I personally believe the one person who gets all the credit for everything, like Arteta has walked in, he's got rid of every disruptive influence in that dressing room, and he's basically built a team. And even if you're on the bench, I don't see that there's anybody pissed off.
No, even Elneny signed a new contract, didn't he?
Recently, yeah, I think they've all got that one purpose, and I think that all comes down to Arteta. He's built a proper team there, yeah, you know, with absolute team spirit that will fight for each other and be happy for each other. And there was games I've been to, and I've been over there, and even that, where, like, you know, we've scored, but the odd person hasn't run to celebrate. They've kind of just walked around and gone, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, and but now we're scoring, everybody just wants to fucking get there and just go, yes. You know, the subs want to do it. You know, when Xhaka was substituted, he fucking ran across the pitch to celebrate when Martinelli scored, you know, and he was off the pitch and he was bang, he was there, you know, and it was just.
It's just been so long since we've been anywhere close, isn't it, though? To feel the joy that the players must be feeling. As a fan, you just haven't. We haven't been close to that for so long.
No.
You know, the odd FA Cup victory and, you know, the Europa League final and stuff, but it pales into comparison when you're atop of the league and playing so well. They keep surprising us every week, really. You think they're done against Villa, that, you know, they've lost a game, they've drawn a game, they've hard done by, and suddenly they turn around and win. There's something special about this bunch, isn't there?
Definitely.
So I think we've spoken for nearly an hour, or over an hour now, about the football. I think we should probably do a bit of a quiz, shouldn't we?
Go on then.
Right, so... Do you know what the quiz is about this week? Let me take you right back to November. To the Arab state of Qatar. And this is my World Cup Do You Remember quiz.
Honestly, yeah, if I score 1 point, I've kind of blocked it out of my memory.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? So I'm reading. I don't know the answer to these questions. I've got it up on an online quiz, but I'll let's name some songs. John, Man in the Mirror. If you win,
yeah, fuck it, go on, then. Yeah, go on. Why not?
Man in the Mirror, or Man in the Middle for Martinelli. What about you, Stuart? What song would you?
I was watching Breaking Bad.
Oh, right.
Breaking Bad. Not Breaking Bad. Stranger Things.
Okay.
And
Kate Bush, are you?
No. They're driving up to some, I don't know. But anyway, and the song playing was, Jackie Wilson. Is it Higher?
Okay. Your love is lifting me higher.
Yeah. And I just thought, yeah, that's quite apt as well with the Arsenal. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll have that one.
Right, who's going to go first in this World Cup quiz?
I'll let Stuart go first.
Okay. Right, so Stuart.
Yes, Matthew.
First question. Five questions each. Which club had three players starting in the World Cup final? Was it Atletico Madrid, PSG, Real Madrid, or Tottenham Hotspur?
So I'm trying to remember who's in the fucking World Cup final.
France-Argentina.
Yeah, France-Argentina.
It's PSG, mate, I believe.
You what?
Well, Hold on. So, France, did you say Tottenham Hotspur?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who was playing in the teams.
Ooh, I don't know the answer to this either, and I'm erring on one of them now. Trying to think of the other person.
I don't. Tottenham, Argentinian Tottenham players. Don't think there's many of them, is there? Argentinian Tottenham players. French. So, Lloris.
Yeah.
Lloris. Who else? French Tottenham. I'll say Tottenham. Just because it
okay.
Doesn't seem
John,
right.
Do you stick it with PSG? So I know that Tottenham have got the fullback was what's his name, Sergio. The centre back for Tottenham? He's the Argentinian centre back.
Oh,
and obviously Lloris. I'm trying to think. I can't think of another player. But PSG obviously had Messi and Mbappe.
Yeah.
Did they have another? Let's have a look. It was Atletico Madrid.
Oh, really?
It was Raul Molina, Rodrigo de Paul of Argentina, and Griezmann of France.
These ain't going to be easy then, are they?
No, they're not by the looks of it. Okay, question number two. Which of these players did not score a goal in the knockout stages? Denzel Dumfries, Jordan Henderson, Pepe, or Cristiano Ronaldo? And when I say Pepe, I mean the Portuguese Pepe, I think, not our Pepe.
Which one of them didn't score
in the knockout stages?
You're tempted to say Ronaldo.
Is that your answer?
In the knockout, I'm going to go with Ronaldo.
It was Ronaldo, correct. Ronaldo scored in 5 different World Cups, but never in a knockout match in 5 World Cups.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Question number 3. In which stage of the tournament were Argentina not given a penalty? Was it the group stage, the last 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, or final? That's all of them, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we're not given a penalty.
Yeah, we're not given a penalty.
So we're talking VAR then?
No, we're just saying which part of the tournament did they not get a penalty? So basically they got at least 4 penalties in this tournament.
Yeah, I know they got a penalty in their first game because that was Saudi Arabia because Messi took
that's
that
right,
and they still
yeah.
lost. Did they get a penalty in the final then? I'll go to the final.
I think they got a penalty. They started with a penalty in the final.
Oh, did they?
It was the last 16. Lionel Messi scored 4 penalties, one against Saudi Arabia, as you said, first game, Netherlands in the quarterfinals, Croatia in the semifinals, and France in the final. He also missed another one against Poland in the group. There were 19 penalties in the whole tournament, and Argentina got 26% of them.
Bloody hell.
Okay. So, question number 4. Bloody hell. These are hard questions.
They are.
You're doing well. Who was the only player to score 2 goals in 2 different games? Was it Lionel Messi, Goncalo Ramos, Kylian Mbappe or Olivier Giroud?
Well, Giroud broke the record, didn't he? Didn't he beat Henry's? I'll go Giroud.
Did he score 2 against us?
Oh, I can't.
He scored one of the goals against us.
I know. I'm sure he scored twice against someone in the tournament.
It was Mbappe.
That was it.
Mbappe scored twice against twice for France against Poland in the last 16, and obviously a hat trick in the final.
No, I know. I'm sure Giroud scored twice in one game.
Yeah,
for them.
And Goncalo Ramos scored a hat trick as well, but not in 2 games. And final question:
I should have gone first. I've known at least three answers.
Question number five. How many yellow cards did England receive in their five matches in the tournament? Is it none, one, four, or six?
One.
Correct. Harry Maguire was the only England player booked
yeah.
in the quarterfinal against France.
I knew.
And we won the fair play.
Yeah, I was going to say, we won the fair play, didn't we?
At least we won the fair play.
Yeah.
At least we won the most.
Just hit the post. That Danny Welbeck has just done a great shot, hit the fucking post.
Danny Welbeck. Right, John, you've got two to beat.
It's on BBC or ITV, isn't it?
Oh, well, I'm watching BBC. It's Fulham, Leeds, Fulham.
Oh, it's ITV4, Stoke City, Brighton.
All right. Fulham are 2-0 up against Leeds.
Question Good. Number one, John.
Yes.
Which team won a game in which they had 18% possession? That's 18% possession. Yeah. Was it Japan, Morocco, Cameroon, or Tunisia?
I can't fucking remember. I'm going to go. Did Morocco win the game? I can't remember. I think they might have done. I'll go Morocco. Why not?
Okay. It was Japan.
Yeah, Spain. I remember that. Yeah,
Spain made 1,058 passes against Japan. But right, lost 2-1.
Okay. Yeah.
Question number two. Morocco became the first African team to play in a World Cup semi-final. Who were the first African team to play in a World Cup quarter-final? Was it Egypt, Morocco, Cameroon, or Ghana?
I think it was Cameroon.
It's against us, weren't it?
Yeah.
Was it that
game? Yeah, it was. Roger Miller. Was it Roger Miller?
Yeah.
Correct. Cameroon at Italia 90. They were beaten by England with two penalties by Lineker. Okay, question number three. Which team did not have a single shot in one of their games? Was it Qatar, Wales, Costa Rica, or USA?
I'm going to go with Wales.
I think it was Wales as well. Stuart, what did you
think? Well, I was going to say, I'm trying to think Qatar. I'm trying to think who the other game, the team they played.
They played Ecuador, didn't they? And it was really bad.
That was the first game, wasn't it? And they lost that. But I've got a feeling they, not hiding, but they were absolutely rubbish.
Oh, that was shit. They really were, yeah.
I still think it's Wales against
Israel. Who
was the one other one in their group? Like the third, they were in that third game.
In their group. When Wales in their group.
Yeah, so yeah. it was us.
USA.
And Iran. I'm sure it was Wales against Iran.
It was
Costa Rica.
Oh, well, there you go.
Costa Rica did not have a shot in their 7-0 defeat to Spain in the first time in 32 years that a team had gone a whole World Cup game without a shot. Since Costa Rica did the same thing to Brazil in Italia 90. There we go. Right. So here's the question. Question four. How many Premier League clubs were represented in the final in Qatar? Were there 4, 5, 6, or 7 clubs? Happy for you to do your working.
You got Martinez and Lloyd, so it's 2. What's the options? 4, 5, 6, or 7. I'll go 6. Can't be asked to work out.
Stuart, I'm thinking that.
Well, you had McAllister of Brighton.
Yeah.
You had. As John said, they're both keepers. Tottenham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Martinez of Villa.
Had the Lisandro or whatever his name is, was he already at Man United?
Yeah. He would have been. Yeah, so that's 4.
Alvarez was at City.
Yeah, 5.
France. There must be some Chelsea players or something in France.
Anyway, no. Anyway, who cares?
Let's have a look.
Well, Saliba count? He was in the French squad. I mean, are you talking about the team that started, or?
I guess it just said he represented in the final.
Yeah, so you've got Saliba. Saliba.
Not the squads, I don't think. It's just, well, anyway.
We'll find out in a minute.
What five. Did you say? You said five.
Six. I said six.
You're six, correct. It's right. So six. Aston Villa, obviously Brighton, Liverpool. Who played for Liverpool?
Who the fuck played for Liverpool?
Tottenham, Man City, Man United. Who would? Is there a French player for Liverpool? I can't think. Anyway.
Or an Argentinian, I don't know.
Okay, here's your final question, John. Both teams scored penalties in the final, but in which other final has that happened? Was it 1986, 2006, 1974, or 1970? Bloody hell.
1970, no, it wasn't because it was there. 1974, Germany beat Ireland 2-1. There wasn't a penalty there. What was the other years?
1986. So Mexico City was.
And the other one?
2006.
2006
was Italy. Italy versus France was 2006, wasn't it?
And that was 1-0, wasn't it, to Italy, I think?
I'll go 2006 because I know 4-0 was 1970, 2-1 was 70. It's probably going to be 74, but I'm going to go 2006.
I know 1986 was Argentina. Is it Argentina?
Is that the Maradona final?
Yeah. There was a lot of goals in that final.
Probably 1986 then.
Let's see, 2006. It was 1974. The Netherlands and West Germany both scored penalties, and West Germany won 2-1.
But basically,
I think 2006, did someone miss a penalty? Did
probably.
Did Zidane miss a penalty or something?
I mean, the thing is, in 74, like the Dutch was so good. When they lost to Argentina and Germany, 74, 78, they were so far superior. It was unbelievable. They just lost their bottle.
Well, there you go. You've lost your bottle as well, John.
I got two. I don't know what Stuart got.
He got two. It's a draw then. Oh, bloody hell. Here we go. Right, so...
just play both songs. Can't be asked to do a tie break.
Yeah, we'll just play both the songs, but just to see which one we goes first. Let's have a look.
Go on then.
Which manager used all 26 players in his squad? So this is for the World Cup. Was it Didier Deschamps, Tite, I don't know who he is, Felipe Sanchez or Luis Enrique?
Well, I'm going to go for Deschamps because didn't the French totally change their whole... They lost and I think he played a completely different 11 during the tournament.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Deschamps.
John? I get the feeling that the Brazilian guy did that as well.
Yeah, it could...
Don't even know who represents which country.
Tite is Brazil. Felix Sanchez? No idea. Luis Enrique, obviously Spain, who won 7-0 in one game. So I think they were... Or did they struggle to qualify?
I'll go for Enrique. Why not?
Enrique, right there. And it was Tite. So now you got that one. Tite used Brazil's third choice keeper, Weverton, subbing in for the last 10 minutes against South Korea. Oh, God. We'll toss a coin in a minute. Let's see if we can find another question on this list that you might be able to answer.
Ask someone to name all the winners and what year in the fucking World Cup, and then we'll crack on with that.
There were only two own goals in the tournament. Which team conceded the first of them? Argentina, Germany, Morocco, or Portugal?
Portugal.
Okay. John?
Stuart's too confident with that one. I will go Argentina.
I reckon it was Germany. Let's have a look. It was Morocco. Bloody hell.
Fucking hell.
I just need a qualifying question, don't I? That who won the World Cup in
1966?
Who was the youngest manager in Qatar? Was it Alio Cisse, Walid Regragui, Lino Scaloni, or Gareth Southgate?
Say that again. I'll go to the second one.
Alio Cisse. Well, he was the Senegal guy, wasn't he?
What's the question?
Who's the youngest manager?
Right, I'm having the second one.
Walid Regragui.
Yeah.
Lionel Scaloni or Gareth Southgate? Still reckon it might be Southgate, you know.
Well, that Cisse, was playing at... Was he at Portsmouth? Or?
Yeah, he could be quite young. Like yeah. Didn't look young.
I'll go Cisse.
Right, Cisse and right, reveal. It was Lionel Scaloni. Nobody's got it again.
Fucking
hell. Oh, right. Jesus Christ.
It's the world's longest quiz.
Right, this is the last chance. Which team wore three different shirts in the tournament? France, Canada, Japan, or Belgium?
Japan.
Okay, that's very confident from John.
Fucking hell. I don't think the French did. Canada, I've no fucking idea. You'd have thought they'd have had to have played more than three games, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Who was the other team?
Belgium.
Yeah, let's go Belgium.
I reckon it was Belgium because they had a weird kit. Did they have... They played in one kit, then they banned it. Because it sort of had a rainbow motif or something in it.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
No, it was Canada. Oh, fucking
hell.
Fucking hell. Officially a draw.
It's okay. Official. It literally, like, we're going to a replay next week. That's it. We're done. I'm tossing a coin and... Heads.
Just play Stuart's one first.
Okay, then yours one second. We'll put the man in the mirror last. But here is Jackie Wilson, not Jockey Wilson.
No, 180
songs. Questions you've had to ask to get this song played. here's Jackie Wilson.
Forevermore, you know your love.
there you go.
2 days.
There's the show. First one back. How do you feel, boys?
We've done a lot of moaning, haven't we?
Yeah. Considering we're top of the league for the first time in a decade.
So with Arsenal, right? Yeah. The reason why we're moaning is because we're just not convinced.
We're nervous. It's a defence mechanism against disappointment.
You know, sometimes, you know, like, what game didn't I watch? There was one of the games a lot of the time I don't watch them, right? But when we win, I kind of think if I'd watched it, we would have lost. You know? So I'll just check it on like Super Six or whatever. Go, right, Arsenal's won, great. And I think if I'd watched it, we would have lost that.
So weirdly, I've been watching most of the games because, and I'll tell you why, it's because we're playing such great football. You feel like it's just more enjoyable to watch. You feel more assured. Like the last couple of years, and you know, I just think back to players like Willian and Pepe, and you know, really.
Well, to be honest, though, Willian's fucking had a right resurgence.
He always bloody does now, doesn't he? His contract's probably up at the end of the year, isn't it? So he started to play.
But I think again, John said earlier, you know, how much of an impact Arteta's had with what he's done. Arteta won't let those players drop. Not saying that he's going to guarantee you win every game, but there's no fucking way any of them give up. That's the thing. Whereas, like you've just said, with players like Willian and Pepe, they were allowed to give up. Well, Arteta won't stand for that. You know what I mean?
I didn't realise Pepe was on loan from us. I thought we'd actually got rid of him.
No, he's on loan.
Yeah. As is Ainsley Maitland-Niles still, isn't he?
No, I think we got rid of him.
Did we?
No, he's actually on loan. They said the other day, they was talking about players that are out with the Arse blog. He's actually out on loan.
We finally got
he's on loan.
We finally offloaded, what's his name, the curly haired guy,
Guendouzi,
yeah.
We've still got what's name's gone on the little short Italian. Was he
I'll
Italian?
Tell you, we've got Super Mick Arteta.
Yeah, exactly. And you know,
if we can sit here, I said to my mate, I said, this is the way it works with Arsenal fans. If we was 5 points ahead on the last game of the season, we'd still be convinced we wouldn't win the league.
We still think that we're going to get dot points after a big brawl.
It literally is.
Or
that way.
The team's going to get the shits and we can't play and we're dot points. No,
the whole point is, let's just enjoy the ride. It could come to an end, but while we can, we got to enjoy it. I mean, we are fortunate in that we have played United twice now. You know, we won one, lost one. You know, but we've still got, we played top twice, which is a good thing. Brentford, we're the only team this season that's going to take 4 points off of Brentford. And, to be honest, the only team vying for a top four space that's taken 4 points off, because United lost.
Liverpool Chelsea lost. I mean, Liverpool lost to everybody, but.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all about focus, but you just got to fucking just crack on and enjoy the ride, because it could end. You know, we've had a lot of shit. You know, if you look at when they showed the league table the other week on Match of the Day on Saturday, what was it? We'd won one in like five games or whatever, two in five games. It's a bad stat for us, but we're still top.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of weird.
I mean, when we lost to Man City, everyone's convinced that's it, that's the turning point. And then Man City go and draw a game, we win.
Forest.
Yeah, you know, and it's that focus, that, you know, okay, we might not be as good as City, man for man, over during a game, but City have got to turn up to these other games. And at the minute, they've shown some weaknesses when they've gone away to places like Forest, to places like
I think Forest could decide the title because at home they are superb, and we've still got to go to Forest yet.
Yeah.
I still think the City game's going to be the one.
It'll be the one, but it's whether we need a point from it or we need to win it. And I know the games but don't.
It'd be really nice, though, to still be 5 points clear. And then we go there, and if we lose, we say, yeah, but we're still top. Who gives a fuck?
I mean, it's a long old way away, but you've got some, you know, as I mean, let's probably talk about
Liverpool. Liverpool were doing it. Chelsea, we've still got to play again.
We've got Everton, Bournemouth, Fulham, Crystal Palace, then Leeds before we play Liverpool away. So we've got games that really, if we're going to win this title, we need to keep piling on the points now. Yeah. Fulham away, big game. Don't doubt that at all. Leeds away, Liverpool away. It's a big game. Even with whatever's going on, that's a big game.
They're going to have nothing else to play for because they're going out of the Champions League. So you know that Liverpool, between now and the end of the season, they're going to be full on. The one thing, I think they've still got to play City as well. So, do you know what I mean? I think that they could have a say in who wins it. Do you know what I mean? Liverpool, listen, we all know they've been, by their standards, pretty shit this season, but you know that they can turn it on. They probably will against us because we're traditionally, we're shit at Anfield anyway. Mm. But it to me, that could be, they could have the say more. I know John's saying about Forest, and Forest are decent at home, but I think Liverpool, knowing that they've got to play City and us, they could be the one that decides where the title goes this season.
You know, even, I guess, that this weekend, we've got one game now tomorrow against Everton at home. We follow that.
We have to win that. We've got six games
in 19 days.
Yeah, we've got to follow Man City versus Newcastle. Now, fair enough, Newcastle might be a bit hurt after the cup final, might not be on top form, but they've got to go and get something there. You know, City are playing again tonight.
They've got to go again in the Champions League next week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And Newcastle have got the week off. Okay, they'll be licking their wounds, but Eddie Howe's a decent manager and he'll remind them, look, we've still got a chance to finish in the top four. This is what we've got to be looking at now. And, you know, they're out of everything now. They can concentrate, which again is going to be our game for us going to Newcastle after last season. If Newcastle can do anything there,
we could be looking at going 7 points clear again on Saturday after two home games. So, you know, there is.
I think we need to be, by the time we go into that horrible little four games or whatever it is, Liverpool, City, I think Newcastle's around there, Chelsea. I think we're going to need to be about 8 points above them. That's my feeling. I know John's saying about Forest, but if you said you've got to go and beat Forest away and Wolves at home as your last two games to win the title, you'd take that
right now, wouldn't you?
I'd take that. I'd definitely take that.
And even like next weekend, I know that, you know, we suddenly are starting to think about the Europa League again, but Crystal Palace away for Man City in the evening, then we go to Fulham the next day. These are not easy games for Man City either.
I think Arteta is going to concentrate on the league. I think he understands that if he decides to put out a weakened team to think, well, we got the Europa League, he'll be a fucking idiot, because when you're 5 points clear, at the top, all right, at the moment, if whatever we are. But when you're clear at the top of the league, if you decide to sacrifice your best players for a fucking poxy trophy, we're probably going to get Champions League football anyway.
Mm.
So winning it, yes, it's a trophy, but, you know, the big bonus is the Champions League. Well, we're probably going to get that regardless. So, like Stuart said
that's
earlier,
what I said.
Just fuck it off.
I think that there will have to be some prioritisation of the league generally. So what do you reckon?
If we beat Everton and we win at the weekend, he's got to look at it and go, right, we're now 5 points clear, level games. What do I want to do? Fuck our chances up against Fulham or just blow the Europa League out? Blow the Europa League out and say bollocks to it.
So tomorrow, Everton, what do you reckon? Obviously, it was a hard game. Sean Dyche will set up pretty similar.
I think it's tough because you know what, though? Even though they lost against Villa, they were still they wasn't the worst team.
No, they just struggled. I mean, they really struggled in front of goal.
They were just unlucky.
Didn't they? They struggled in front of goal. They had a number of headers. As you said, Iwobi had some good chances.
Yeah.
I think we'll nick it tomorrow, but I'll
be happy with a 1-0.
I think it will be 1-0. I don't see Everton scoring. I think it will be more about whether we get frustrated because, you know, Dyche will have one plan and
Kick the shit out. Pretty much.
But the atmosphere at home's fantastic and it doesn't go quiet in the stadium at all. I've not had that at all this season.
My mate who lives up in Scotland, he messaged me when we played City on WhatsApp and said, I've never heard the Emirates like that. He went, it's unbelievable. When he was watching it on TV.
It's crazy. He said the crowd's
unreal.
It is. I've never known it. I mean, the Man United game, you'd have thought we'd have won the fucking league. Even my mate, he came up just for a few beers. He was going to sit and watch it in the pub. And then I think last minute, Mark couldn't go because something was wrong with his water at home and Bill had got him a ticket.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I've got someone here who will have your ticket, Mark. And he took the ticket. But we went back to the Victoria after the game and it was queuing. You're queuing now to get in the Victoria, you know, before kickoff. That's how many people. We went in there after the game and the noise in the pub and it was just packed. And my mate turned around to me. He said, anyone think you'd fucking won it, the league today? I said, this is what it's been like. It's like I say, you have to queue now to get in that Victoria where we've all been in there. We've all known what it's been like. You just walk in, you know.
Now pizza.
you have to buy two or three drinks at a time when you get a chance at the bar because it's so busy in there.
But you can still stroll straight in the rocket.
And have three jugs of cider.
But it is a whole different, and I do like the new rap that they've done around the stadium. It wasn't all on. I think there was still two left to do when I went to the Brentford game.
Mm.
But, it's pucker. And where I go in at block, is it E or F I go in? I can't remember. But we've got the East Stand mural is at our bit. And that, you know, of the old Highbury with the players in the windows. It's really good. Yeah, it's quite impressive.
I miss it. You know, I do. Obviously, I'm up here now, so,
We can still make our way to a game at some point, John.
Yeah, well, Stuart's got me silver, so, yeah.
We'll never get in now, obviously.
Well, I will. Because my niece works
there.
Well,
you know the details of it, John.
Yeah, I mean, but also my niece works there, so.
You can go in like a special place in the stadium.
I'll be fucking like up with the hobnobs because my niece will just get me a ticket.
Put them on the glass, John.
You know,
couple of pancakes.
I won't take
pancakes.
Her down the pub, not with you lot. I would never take my niece down the pub, you lot.
Why? What are you trying to say? Well, yeah, what
because
are you
she's
trying
a
to
nice
say?
Girl. She's a nice girl.
Well, you've had kids in our group all the time. And it's only Bill, isn't it?
Yeah, Bill.
Well, fantastic. So, come on, let's have some predictions for the two games we've got then this week. Everton 1-0. Oh, was it 1-0? I reckon we'll win 3-1 against Everton. They'll get a penalty.
Well, I'll have to go 2-0 if John's gone 1-0.
And then 1-0. Don't matter, is it?
Saturday against Bournemouth, home, 3 o'clock kickoff.
4-0.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 2-0 again.
Yeah, I'll say 3-0. I think it'll be enough against Bournemouth. They lost to City quite straightforward, didn't they?
I'd like to say they will be on the front foot tomorrow night and Saturday. You know, doesn't matter who's starting, who's not playing, who is playing. We with the crowd, they'll be on the front foot. So
plus point to prove against Everton.
Yeah,
as well, you know.
That's one thing.
Got a bit of extra little motivation, hasn't it?
Well, that's the one thing with Mikel Arteta. I was talking of Snap-on man who comes round. He's a Tottenham fan. And we always have some banter. And but he always comes in on a Thursday. So the Thursday he came in before we played him, he said, "So what do you reckon then? What do you reckon?" I said, we're going to roll you over, mate. He went, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, how can you be so confident?" I said, "I'm telling you now, none of those players will be allowed to forget what happened at your stadium last season." I said, "Mikel Arteta will have them so up for that." I said, "That you." And that's the thing with him. He doesn't forget. He won't let the players forget. And, yeah, that'll be one of his ones for tomorrow. Not saying we'll win, but those players will go out there tomorrow night knowing that one of the reasons we've had a little bit of a wobble was because we lost to Everton. And, you know, he won't let them forget that. And I'm quite confident about tomorrow. I'm not saying we're going to stuff them because I said 1-0. But I'm confident that we will beat Everton tomorrow.
Well, I mean, the players, they follow each other on the wings, you know, because they've got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know I'm starting with the man in the middle. He's Gabriel Martinelli. Lovely to see you again, boys.
And you.
And
indeed.
We're really excited for the rest of this season. It's going to be fantastic. We've all got our fingers crossed that Victoria pub is going to get fucking trashed if we win this
league. If we lose both these
games. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, if we lose both games. Yeah. Let's set that as a condition right now.
Yeah.
No, it's been great to talk to you boys, and this is a man with no questionable behaviour. it's Michael Jackson.
VAR have checked it.
VAR have checked it, and he did not hang his baby out of a window.
And it's Michael Jackson singing "I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles."
See you later, boys.
Gonna make a right.
As I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one wants you to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm
yourself, then make a change. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no mess left, cut a bend and a clipper. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself, then make that change. We're gonna make the world.